So this past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. Now, we don't come and put ashes on our forehead like, you know, other churches. But it was the beginning of the Lent season. And we don't look at Lent season the way that we look at Advent season. Now, I kind of touched on this for those of you that were at Centercrest this week. I kind of touched on this there, too. But we don't look at it that way. But shouldn't we? Because the Advent season is a time of preparation and a time for preparing ourselves for the birth of Jesus and then the second coming, right? Well, Lent season is a time of preparation for what? For the Lamb dying on the cross for us. The blood of Jesus being shed for us. It's a time of preparation, but it's more than time of preparation. It's a time of repentance. Many people will give something up for Lent. Do you know what they give up? What do you hear most people say they gave up? I gave up chocolate. I like to eat chocolate, so I gave it up. I gave up Facebook for 40 days. I gave up TV. I gave up, something, the computer. I gave up something that doesn't mean much of anything. Because in 40 days, what happens? You indulge in it, don't you? After 40 days, you're like, I haven't had chocolate for 40 days. I'm so excited to finally eat chocolate again. And so you go to the store and you buy all these bags of chocolate and you sit down at your table and you eat it. Or you're like, oh, I haven't seen TV in 40 days. So you get on your TV and you watch whatever there is to watch on TV. Or maybe you haven't been on Facebook for 40 days. And so you've got it. You've got 40 days to catch up on. The whole thing that started like that was because Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. And he was tempted by Satan. And so we give up something for 40 days because we believe that we're supposed to be like Jesus and we're supposed to imitate him, and he gave up food and all of that for 40 days, and so we should too, right? But we're going to imitate Jesus. We've got to do more than that. You see, because as we're going to read here in just a little bit, Jesus went into the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan. One of you are tempted by Satan too. We need to make sure that what we give up, if we give stuff up, because you see, we don't really, you know, most of the time that's Catholic thing and we don't really do that, but a lot of people will do it to follow that. What you need to give up is some kind of sin that is blocking you from God. Not chocolate, not Facebook, not a computer, not a TV, but something that is blocking you from being covered in the Lamb's blood. Something that is blocking you from being reconciled to your Father. Because isn't that what we're celebrating? We're celebrating Easter. It's not the Easter Bunny. It's not Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. Christ walking to Calvary. Jesus Christ carrying his cross as he's been beaten and bruised and battered. Jesus Christ laying his life down and nails being put into his hands and his feet. That is Easter. That is Easter. And that is why we need to be in preparation. We need to be preparing our hearts for the death and the resurrection of our King. He didn't just die. He took your sins. He took what you should have taken. He took what I should have taken. And he put them on himself. And he died for you. For you right now. He wants to cover you in his blood He wants to make sure that when your time on earth is over and you stand before God the Father and you have to give an account for what you've done here on earth, He wants to make sure that He is standing between you and God to say, this person is blameless. This person is spotless. Why? Because my blood covers them. I was writing this sermon and putting it together. I thought, who else in this world? Another God out there would stand between you and someone and say they're spotless and blameless. Who else would lay their life down for you? Would Allah do it? Would whatever other God that's out there, would they do it? You see, we serve a very, very special God, don't we? That He would love us. The mirror. We're not really God says you are. You're so special, I'm giving you my only son because I love you that much. We need to give up something other than food or drink or sleeping or whatever it may be. You need to give up some sin that is blocking you. The book of Acts records believers fasting before making an important decision. Do you do that? Do you fast and pray before a big decision is made? Do you ask God what his will is in that decision? Do you ask God for His advice? Other times we don't. Let's look at Matthew 4, 1 through 11. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. You see, Jesus went into the wilderness, and he went in and he fasted. How many of you could fast for 40 days? Be pretty hard to fast for 40 days. I sometimes can't even go 4 hours. You see, so 40 days is a long time to be without food, to be fasting. And it even says in the scripture, it says that he was in there and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So Jesus was hungry and Satan, he comes to him and he tempts him and he says, well, here, if you are the Son of God, do what you want and turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, I don't think so. He says, that's not what I'm to do. He goes and he tells him, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Isn't that live on the bread of Jesus, don't we? Bread of life. Now, obviously, we have to have food for nutritional. We have to have food to survive. But the Word of God is what our spiritual life depends on, doesn't it? The Word of God is what our souls feed on. You see, and if we are not living up to the standards of what the Bible tells us, if we are not following the Word of God, then guess what? Your soul is not getting its bread. Your soul is not getting fed. What happens to a body if you don't feed it? It withers up, doesn't it? Then we have the, in humans, we have that human form of anemia, or what's that word? That's it. I was thinking of anemia. I was like, what is it? So in humans, we call ourselves anorexic then, and we're skin and bones, right? You look at somebody and their bones are showing and their ribs are showing and they just look awful, right? Don't feed your soul the word of God. Your soul looks like that too. It's black. It's dried up. And it doesn't look good. Just as we feed our bodies with bread and food and drink and we nourish our bodies that way, we've got to nourish our souls. And if we are not nourishing our souls with the Word of God, then I ask you, what are you nourishing your souls with? What are you putting into your soul? You see, that's why I said in this Lent season, we have to have a time of preparation. We've got to search our souls. Look at what your soul looks like. Is it connected to God? Or is it kind of an anorexic looking? How full of God is your spiritual body? Because I've said it before and I'll say it again, that when you stand before God, He doesn't care about your physical body. He cares about your soul. So He's not going to judge your physical body. He's not going to say, well, you got a scar on your left foot. Sorry, you can't come in. He's going to look and see, is your soul spotless and blameless? He's going to look and see if your soul is covered in the Lamb's blood. What does it look like this morning? Jesus, He didn't only come back and battle Satan with Scripture. He didn't just know it. He obeyed it. He could have very easily turned those rocks into bread. He could have very easily done everything that Satan told him to do, but He knew Scripture. And I always find it funny when I read this Scripture that Satan tries to use Scripture against Jesus. Because the next part, Satan, he quotes it and he says, "For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So He's trying to tell him, just go ahead. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because if you really are the Son of God, then God's going to send His angels and He's going to protect you, right? Because it's written. So you see, Satan, he's really trying to trick Jesus up here. He's really trying to show him, well, God said it in His word here, so go ahead and do it. But Jesus, he always has a good comeback, doesn't he? So He comes back and He says, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." How many times do we test God? Well, if you're really there, God, then do this. If you're really there, God, then show me this. Instead of having a heart saying, God, I just need you to show me. I just need you to give me that peace or that comfort. I need you to show me that you're there. We're kind of testing God in a certain way. You see, it's not a prayer of, well, I just need that reassurance that God is there. It's more of a prayer of, well, let's see, if God, you're really there, let me test you. You see, in Satan, he wanted Jesus to test God in that way. He wanted him to show that he was the Son of Man or the Son of God. And Jesus says, guess what? I don't have to show you. I've written, I don't need to test God. So Satan, he gets a little discouraged again. And he goes to a very high mountain and he shows them all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And I really like that because it's all the kingdoms of the world. But guess what? God has the kingdom of heaven, doesn't he? He doesn't need the kingdoms of the world. And he says, you can have all of this. All of this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. One of us in here, we have those moments where Satan says, I will give you all of this. All of that worldly stuff, all of those worldly possessions, they can be yours If only you bow down and worship me. But what does Jesus say to him? Away from me, Satan. Some versions say, get behind me. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You see, that's a statement that you need to write on your hearts. You need to remember, because when Satan is tempting you, when things are coming your way, you need to say, get behind me, Satan. I serve God and God only. Lent is about self-denial. About a time to really concentrate not on ourselves. Concentrate on the blood of Jesus and what he did. You see, and it's a time to realize that we serve only God. We're really going to imitate Jesus in these 40 days. Then we need to be imitators of him in the wilderness, battling Satan. We need to be an imitator of him when he only depends on God and God alone. He's hungry, and yet he knows that God's going to provide. He doesn't need to strike the rock for bread. Satan wants him to worship him, and what does he say? I don't need to worship you because I worship God and God only. I don't need the splendors of the world because I've got God and I've got everything that God has. You hear? You have the same. Everything that Jesus has, he's given to you. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to fall into Satan's temptations. Why? Because God says, I'm stronger than it all, and I've given you everything that you need. If you depend on me, if you obey me, if you follow me. You see, it doesn't just happen by putting a Bible on your shelf. It doesn't just happen by sitting in a pew in church. It doesn't just happen by saying, I sort of believe in Christ. He's not a magic genie that you put on a shelf and say, pop out whenever I need you. He is your Savior. He is the one that went to the cross for you. He is the one that laid his life down so that why? You can have life. You need to follow and obey. If you're really going to imitate Jesus in the next 40 days by giving something up, then find where your soul is lacking being connected with God. It's not about chocolate. It's not about computers. It's not about TVs. It's about your relationship with Jesus. What does your soul look like in that relationship? You see, the purpose of that is a discipline, is to strip away those things that clutter your life or stop you from having that relationship. Truly honest this morning. Truly honest. And you don't need to be truly honest with me, but you do need to be God. If you're truly honest with God this morning, what is blocking you? What is it between you and God that you need to correct? You left church this morning and something happened and you were in an accident and you didn't make it another day. Would you stand before God the Father blameless, spotless, and covered in the blood of Jesus? Would you? God said, I'm only counting this last week. I'm looking at just this last week. What did you do in this last week? You see, that's not the way it is. It's your whole life. What is it that we need to correct? What is it that we need to change? What is it that you need to repent of and turn away from? What is it that Jesus' blood is not covering yet? You need to ask yourself that question. Because in this time, you need to reflect on what Jesus is going to do for you when we celebrate Easter. We've already done it, but we celebrate it again. We look at Good Friday. And we come and we have a service on Good Friday and we think we celebrate Good Friday, don't we? It's a mournful time. It's a time of sadness, but yet at the same time, it's a time of joy and wonderful, because why? Your Savior laid his life down for you. Savior decided that you were important enough, that he loved you enough, that he was going to take your spot on the cross. See, the story in the Bible, it's not just another Bible story. This is your salvation. This is my salvation. This is our children and our grandchildren's. This is what the whole gospel message is about. Lamb going to the cross so that we may have life. The Lamb going to the cross that we can be reconciled to the Father. The Lamb going to the cross so that you and I do not have to pay for the sins we commit if we seek repentance and forgiveness. The Lamb going to the cross and taking our punishment. And then it's about the Lamb raising from the dead so that we can have life. Focus on that. In this season, do you focus on the blood of Jesus? Is it about the Easter bunny? Or is it about the chocolate that you want to give up? Because maybe if you can do it for 40 days, then you can lose that 5 pounds that you want to lose, right? Because chocolate is part of our life, or whatever it may be. It's not about those things. What does your soul look like this morning? Is there a black area? Is there an area that Satan has a hold of this morning? Is there an area that Satan is tempting you over and over and over and over and you keep falling into it? Jesus, he went through everything we went through. Everything that we go through, he went through. He went through temptation, and guess what? He came out on the other side. That means that you can too. That means we don't have to give in to temptation, because Jesus, he knew exactly what he needed to do, and he did what? He followed Scripture. He followed God. So if we're really going to imitate Jesus in these 40 days, then you need to imitate the fact that he did not fall into temptation. You too can come out on the other side. Over the course of the last couple months, I've been talking about sin and how we need to rid our lives of sin, and how we can't pick and choose what parts of the Bible we follow and what parts we don't, how we need to imitate Christ by fearing him and standing in awe of him. Do you see what I've been leading up to? This moment where you are going to celebrate, where you are in the Lent season, where you are hearing your souls, whether you're allowing Jesus to cover you and be spotless. You know me, I hate snow. But when you look out into a field of freshly fallen snow and it's glittering off of the sunlight and it's so pretty, right? Jesus wants to make your soul whiter than that. Imagine any whiter than that. But Jesus, he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you this morning.
Either my faith, or I fail in going to Jesus, or I fail in some form, I fall into some kind of temptation, or whatever it may be that I fail at. I imagine Jesus sitting at the right hand of God and going, just give her another chance. He does that for each and every one. Just give her another chance. Just give him another chance. Fight for them. In this Lent season, prepare your hearts. Prepare your souls. Fight for you, not just to say, oh, they were worthy enough. Let me just did it so that you could have forgiveness and you could have life. Here, it's a choice. Heaven or hell, right? Because he came so that you could have life with him in eternity of heaven. When he left, he says, I'm going where? I'm going to my Father's place to prepare a place for you, right? Now, I don't need a mansion, but Jesus says, I've got one built for you. I just lay down the streets of gold. I don't care. All I need to know is that I'm spotless and blameless before God. Jesus says, I want to give you so much more. I want to give you everything that you need, and you can have it in heaven where I'm going. I want to challenge you, and just here in a minute, but I want to challenge you first. Search your soul this Lent season. And I don't mean just a, okay, God, is there something? Okay, I didn't hear you. All right. No, I'm talking about a deep soul searching. Find what it is that maybe you're trying to give up and you can't. Something that is tempting you over and over. Something that is blocking you from having the relationship with Jesus that you need to have. And ask yourself, because I don't know it, you can only answer it. Ask yourself that if you were to die today, this very second, would you stand before God spotless and blameless, covered in the blood of Jesus? Are your sins forgiven? Have you repented of them? You see, because Jesus forgives all of our sins. When we repent of them, he throws them away. They're gone. They're remembered no more, right? If there is a sin that is not forgiven, it's on you. You have not asked for that forgiveness. You have not asked for the blood to be covered. You have not turned away from that sin. Is there something that you have not asked God for? Is there something that the blood is not covering? If so, you need to change it. You need to get rid of it. You need to prune it out of your life so that if you were to die this very second, that you could be spotless and blameless and covered in the blood. We're going to sing our last song. Fill my cup. But in those times, if there is anyone who needs to lay something at the altar, who needs to give something to God, please come and do. And you can't do it out in the world either. No one is going to think anything less of you. As a matter of fact, we'll think that we need to encourage and lift you up in this time. If there's something that's blocking you from having that relationship with Jesus, from being covered in the blood of Jesus, if there's a struggle, a temptation, come, put it down here. And in the next 40 days, keep remembering what you laid here and get rid of it. Allow Jesus to take care of it. So playing our last hymn, come and give to Jesus what you need to give. Or if you just want to pray that he helps you with something or whatever it is, as you need to prepare your heart, you need to prepare your soul. Only you and God know what that is. Pray it at the altar. Will you stand as we sing our last hymn?